Good morning. Happy rainy Sunday. Aren't you glad for the rain? Yeah, but more importantly, I'm glad for a place that we can gather to be able to have our weekly family reunion. Amen? Aren't you glad you came to the church family reunion today? All right, good. If you are a guest with us today, we want to say welcome, and we are so grateful for the fact that you have chosen to be with us today. And when you came in, hopefully you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out and drop it in the offering plate or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer, that would be so helpful to us. Hopefully you also picked up a bulletin, and along with all the rest of the folks that came in as well, hopefully you all have a bulletin. So take out your bulletin and let's kind of go through some of the things that are happening this week. So Tuesday, we have our leadership team meeting here at 6:30 p.m. at church. So men that are here, please make sure that you have that on your calendar. And so you might look around and you might say, whoa, where is everybody? Well, we have a big contingent of folks up at Shiloh Bible Camp for family camp this weekend because it's the holiday weekend. And we have a lot of people that are traveling because it's a holiday weekend. And so, but I'm so thankful you made the decision to stick around and to be able to come and join us this morning. So Tuesday night, men, is our leadership team meeting. Wednesday, Joy Bible Study kicks off at 1 p.m. here at the church. We're going to do a review of where we've been in the book of Romans and how far we get in that review. I am not making any promises or guarantees, so we're just going to see how far we get in the hour that we spend together. Thursday night, Awana begins. That's a great thing. Our kids and our leaders are looking forward to that. After the service, you'll be able to register your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, cousins, whatever, for our Awana ministry. That way you don't have to worry about taking care of that on Thursday night when you come. Saturday, we have Ladies Coffee Connection here at the church, so that'll be great. Next Sunday is our church picnic, and you have details about that in the bulletin. If you have any questions about that, see me or Becky. We'll be able to answer those questions for you. Out on the information table, we have our Daily Bread devotional booklets that started a couple days ago with September 1st, so you're not that far behind. So go ahead and make sure that you grab one on your way out. If you would like to share one of those with someone else, make sure that you grab those for them as well. Also, I hope you see in the bulletin, parents, that there is no children's church today. We have children's bulletins and pencils out there for them to be able to do. So if you didn't pick one of those up, you can go ahead and go out and do that. So things are a little bit different today than most Sundays because our worship leader and some others of our worship team are up at family camp at Shiloh Bible Camp. But you know what? It doesn't matter, right? We're here to worship. We're here to lift our voices in song. We're here to worship it as we sing. We're here to worship as we give. We're here to worship as we pray. We're here to worship as we hear God's word. We're here to worship. Amen? And we're going to worship. Exactly. So let's begin with prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to gather here this morning. I thank you for those that are here. And Father, I just pray that this will be just a wonderful time of worship. Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds will be in the right place. Father, I pray that we'll put away the distractions that maybe we brought with us to be able to wholly give ourselves to you, to be able to totally concentrate on you, to be able to receive what it is that you have for us this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go, worship team.
Well, good morning. I am not your typical worship leader this morning. Oh, Jared's up at camp. But if you saw in the bulletin, Awana starts this week, and it's back to Awana. But this morning, is we're back to the classics. We got some hymns for you this morning that will be easy for you there. If you'll stand with me, we'll get started. We're going to sing My Country, 'Tis Thee, and go right into America the Beautiful.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country, the land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. O beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. O beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. O beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, who more than self their community seem, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, Jesus is fairer, Jesus is pure, who makes the woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fair still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry hosts. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels heaven can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine.
Thank you. You may be seated at this time if you'd like.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? Do you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath learned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake.
We'll be singing My Jesus, I Love Thee. I hope you love Jesus this morning.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Our ushers are going to be taking our offerings, so let's pray. Father, what a prayer that is for us to be able to offer up to you this morning, that if ever we've loved you, Jesus, it's now. Father, I thank you that the love that we have for you has been displayed in the praises that we've sang from our hearts and from our lips this morning. I pray that our love for you will be demonstrated in the way that we give back to you a portion financially of what it is that you have trusted us with. I pray that our love will be evident as we take in your word here in just a few moments. And then as we leave this place, may we take it with us and, Father, put it into practice into our lives. So, Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that we've had already and will continue to have to show you how much we love you. Take our gift, take what it is that we give to you, and use it for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Thank you for your singing.
Aren't you grateful for those everlasting arms? It's better than leaning on our own, amen? All right, turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Continuing on in our study of the book of Acts. But lately, I've been reading Matthew chapter 5 and just kind of attempting to let it just soak into my heart and hopefully soak into my life. And I've been especially interested in verses 13 through 16. You don't have to turn there. I'll read these verses for you. It says, "You are the salt of the earth." And this is Jesus talking. "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And as I was thinking about these verses and praying through these verses, I ran across a quote from a Christian author, and what he said really struck a chord with me. This is what he wrote. "We should not ask what is wrong with the world, for that diagnosis has already been given. Rather, we should ask what has happened to the salt and light." Think about that for a moment. Instead of focusing on what all's wrong with our culture, what all's wrong with society, what all's wrong with the world, we should say, what happened to the salt and light? And as I thought about this, this thought came to me that as salt is going to do the work of preventing decay, it must get out of the salt shaker. And if light is going to be effective, it needs to go out into the darkness. Think about that. If salt is going to do the work of preventing decay, it must get out of the salt shaker. And if light is going to be effective, it must go out into the darkness. If we're the salt, then that means instead of sitting around going, what is wrong and there's nothing that we can do, we need to go out and get out of the salt shaker and be the salt. And we need to go out into the darkness and we need to what? Be the light. Take the light of Jesus. Take the light of the Word of God out into the darkness around us. So in our text for today, we're going to see how God used persecution to propel the early church into a decadent and dark world. Now, these people who were a part of the early church had become comfortable gathering to grow, and now it's time for them to scatter and sow. Lifeway Research recently released a study that found believers are being shaped more by social media than by God's word. That's sad. While 66% of believers use Facebook at least once a day, only 32% say they read the Bible every day. More people are putting their faces into Facebook than they are into God's book. That's sad. The researchers concluded, is it any wonder that churches are unhealthy and divided, with believers gorging on social media, fast food, and skipping the feast of the Bible? I'm glad you're here today. And I hope that at the end of the sermon, you will be able to say that you enjoyed a feast from God's word. That's this preacher's hope and prayer for today. Now, those of you know that the word of God consists of two parts, right? The Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm getting ready to do a study with our teens on Thursday night in Awana on Old Testament survey, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really, really great. But we could summarize the call of the Old Testament like this: come and see. Because people were invited. They were invited to come to the city of Jerusalem for feast and to come to the temple for worship. And in the New Testament, we see a different call, and that call is go and tell. And hopefully, if you haven't seen that as we've been studying the book of Acts, that's what God's mission is all about, for us to be able to what? Go and tell. And that's not just for the church as a whole. That's for us as individuals who call the church the place where we gather to be able to grow. So as we do our verse-by-verse study here in the book of Acts this morning, we're going to see the early church needed a push to take the gospel message from Jerusalem out into the world. Now, Jerusalem was still the central location, but now it is beginning to serve as the missionary sending center. So here's the main point. We gather in our church to grow, and we scatter to the world to sow. And we start at the world where God has placed us. And for most of us, God has placed us where? Right here in the Treasure Valley. This is the place that we're to scatter and to sow. So with that in mind, we shouldn't be worried about what's happening in the world around us. But maybe we need to be more diligent to take God's word to the world around us. You see, as we've been learning in our study in the book of Acts, God has us here for a purpose. He has presented us with his mission for the message of Jesus to be shared. So this is not the time for us to get caught up in the cares and the controversies of the world. It is the time to be wise and use the time and opportunity that God gives to us. Because remember, Jesus could come at any moment. He could come before this service is ever done. He could come sometime later on this afternoon. He could come tomorrow or the day after or the day after. So we need to be wise and use the time and opportunity that God gives to us to what? Take the message of what Jesus did for us on the cross. What Jesus did for the world on the cross to a dark world. Hopefully by now you found Acts chapter 8 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 8. And Saul approved of his execution. Whose execution? Stephen's. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. So as I looked at these early verses here in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, I found three truths for us to consider. And I want us to look at those truths this morning. Truth number one is this. Persecution was brought about by a promise. Persecution was brought about by a promise. Now, Stephen's death was the starting point of great persecution. Not persecution, but great persecution of the early church in Jerusalem. And we need to understand that persecution is promised to every believer. Let me just give you two of the promises. John chapter 15, verse 20, Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you." 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be," what's the word? "Persecuted." So when persecution broke out, the believers were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. The apostles stayed back in Jerusalem to take care of the Jerusalem church, while other believers were scattered. Now, this word scattered that's found here in Acts chapter 8 is an interesting word. There are two Greek words for the word scattered. One means dispersed, so the item is gone, kind of like ashes in the wind. Remember back when we used to have the old-fashioned charcoal grills before there was propane? Remember that? And you had to put them in, and you had to put them just right, and you had to put enough lighter fluid on it and maybe a little bit of paper, and then you lit it, and then you had to wait for it to get warm. You had to wait for the coals to get warm and start to turn to what? To ash before you could start cooking your things on the barbecue. And then after you were all done and the charcoal briquettes began to cool, they turned more and more into ash. And in order for you to use that barbecue grill again, you had to what? Clean out the ashes, right? And then if you did that on a windy day, what would happen to the ash? It would just scatter, and it would be no more. And so, you know, that's one of the words for the word scatter. I remember one time up on Table Rock, I did a memorial service, and we scattered this lady's ashes up at Table Rock. And when we got up there, I was kind of looking at, you know, what would be the good place to be able to do this and to be able to do the things that the family wanted to be able to do. And so I scoped it all out, and I picked just the right spot. And so I thought, this will be really great. And so we went through a little bit of reflection. We went through some time of prayer. And then when it came time to scatter the ashes, the wind came up. And I didn't allow for the wind. And so as I'm scattering the ashes, the wind then turns and it blows all of the ashes onto me. And I'm wearing a suit, a dark suit with a white shirt. And all of these ashes just came onto me. Do you know how hard it was to get the ashes off of that suit so that when we went out to lunch afterwards, I looked presentable? Didn't happen. But the wind just carried that ash where the wind wanted to be able to go. That's one of the words for scattered in Greek. The word used here in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 and also in verse 4 is the word, now get this, to be scattered in order to be planted. That's cool, isn't it? Persecution led to planting the Word of God so that souls could be harvested, so that people could come to believe in Jesus as Savior. That's what we've been called to do. That's what God's mission is all about, us being used by God to be able to scatter the seeds of the Word of God, the seeds of the message of what Jesus has done on the cross for the whole world. So that what? Planting can take place. So that growth could take place. So that disciples could be formed as people come to believe in Jesus as Savior. Isn't that neat? Isn't that really cool? There's a reason. There's a reason why God inspired Luke to be able to use that word for scattering in order to be planted. Because in one day, these persecuted believers lost one of their key leaders, this man named Stephen. Remember when we found out in chapter 7 that Stephen was chosen? He was a Greek to be able to what? To be able to serve God. Where? In the church. To be able to make sure that things were equitable, to make sure that things were done in a godly manner. Stephen was a man full of faith. He was a man full of wisdom. He was a man who was used by God. In one day, these persecuted believers lost one of their key leaders. In one day, they lost their safety and security. In one day, they lost their ability to gather as a large group for worship. In one day, they lost their sense of togetherness. In one day, they lost their ministry momentum. In one day, they lost their contact with the apostles. Because of the scattering, they had to leave family and homes and jobs and possessions, much like many persecuted believers are experiencing around the world today. Now remember, before Jesus ascended into heaven, the early church was given a clear message from Jesus. But remember, they delayed in obeying it. What was that message? What was that mission? Jesus said, and it's recorded in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Acts. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And because these believers had become too comfortable, God used the persecution of Acts 8:1 to move them to fulfill Acts 1:8. Isn't that really cool? Isn't that good? Because these believers have become too comfortable, God used the persecution of Acts 8:1 to move them to fulfill Acts 1:8. Are we so comfortable today that God might have to bring something our way to be able to get us to move, to do his mission, to do what it is that he has asked us to be able to do. Now, verse 2 gives us a little bit of background about what happened after Stephen died. It tells us that devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over them. These men honored Stephen in his death and mourned the loss of his life. But while that was going on, and after that happened, verse 3 reveals how intense this persecution was. It says Saul was ravaging the church. I don't know if you paid any attention to the title of the message this morning, but the title of the message is, "You're a Mean One, Mr. Saul." Man, I'd had that title picked since I first started studying and putting together messages for the book of Acts. "You're a mean one, Mr. Saul." That's what that word ravaging is trying to tell us, is that he was a mean one. This wasn't just Saul going into churches or going into the homes of believers and saying, "Oh, you Bible thumpers. Oh, you religious fanatics. Oh, you people who gather together to be able to worship." No, this was violent. This was intense. This was persecution like the world had never seen before. This graphic description means to injure severely, to destroy, and to annihilate. Paul was hurting people. Paul was putting people to death. And that's why he was there as they were putting Stephen to death as a way of persecuting the church. It's the picture of a wild beast ravaging and tearing a carcass to bits. And this verb tense indicates this happened continuously. Verse 3 says, "And entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison." This word "dragged off" as well as "ravaged" tells us that this was filled with violence. What a reminder that is to us, that we gather in our church to grow and we scatter to the world to sow. Here's the second truth. Problems bring about proclamation. Problems bring about proclamation. Verse 4 reveals how these persecuted believers responded. It says, "Now those who were scattered went about covering themselves with their blankets, cowering in whatever places of safety they could find." Is that what it says? No. It says they went about what? Preaching the word. There's a whole lot of things they could have been doing other than preaching the word of God. But they went about what? Preaching the word of God. They've just been scattered because of their belief in Jesus as Savior. They've just been scattered because of their willingness to want to hear and to learn and to follow the word of God. And as they're being scattered, instead of just cowering in fear, instead of just neglecting and ignoring all that they had been doing previously to them being scattered about because of the great persecution, they still what? Went about preaching the word of God. How many times have we come to church and we've heard a sermon, we've been in God's spirit and he spoke to us, and we said, "You know what? Wow, I needed that. Wow, I needed that in my life. Wow, I needed to hear that on this particular morning." And then we go out into the world and we what? Never say anything about what God just did for us. We hide it in our hearts. Why? I think because we're afraid. We're afraid that if we shared it with the wrong person, they would go, "Are you kidding me? You really believe that? Are you kidding me? You really think that? Are you kidding me? You really want to live like that?" We're afraid. These people who were just, these believers who were just seeing and have this great persecution happen in their lives, they weren't afraid. They went about what? Still preaching the word. And remember, this wasn't the apostles that went about preaching the word. These were the ordinary believers, because the apostles stayed back in Jerusalem. They had been gathering to grow, and now in their scattering, they were sowing the message of the gospel. And throughout the book of Acts, when persecution came, the response of believers was to proclaim the message about Jesus coming to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What a reminder this is for us. Because of all that is going on in the world today, our message should not be our political persuasion, but a proclaiming of the Word of God. It's interesting in this time of the early church, as I already mentioned, that it was regular people, not the apostles, who were doing the work of sowing the gospel message. That's the New Testament pattern. The message about Jesus was spread by ordinary believers who received power from God's Spirit to be his witnesses. Isn't that what Jesus said? But you will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. To what? To be my witnesses. Where? Right where you are right now. And then on to other places after that. So here's a question for you this morning. Do you see your problems as a platform for proclamation? Before you answer that, let me ask this question. Is there anybody here this morning that hasn't ever had a problem? I didn't think so. Do you see your problems as a platform for proclamation? You see, that's Paul's approach to the persecution he suffered after he came to believe in Jesus as Savior. Because remember, this fellow named Paul, at one time, his name was Saul. And Saul was a mean one, Mr. Saul. He did what? He ravaged the church. He did what? He put people in prison. And he did it with violence. He dragged off people from their homes, from their jobs, from their families, from their possessions, from the things that made them comfortable. And he did what? He put them in prison. And some of them, he even was there as they were put to death. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says he found God's purpose in his problems. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. He wrote that while he was in prison. For what? Sowing the word of God. For what? Being involved in God's mission. It's also interesting that these crowds that were hearing the word of God and responding to the word of God were in one accord, which means they were united in their desire to hear more. What a lesson this is. When good news is shared with love, people want to know more. But when they see signs of a changed life, they want to see if their lives can change as well. You see, we don't need to be afraid to be able to share the message of what Jesus has done on the cross for people. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry about authorities that are going to come in and take us away and drag us off to prison. And we lose our jobs and we lose our families. We lose the things we worked for, the things that we hold dear, the things that might make us comfortable. We shouldn't be afraid of that. Because when people hear the truth, they respond to the truth. Now, there are those who hear the truth that don't respond. But you know what? You're not responsible for that. You're only responsible to what? Proclaim. Proclaim the word of God. In the last several weeks, on Thursday mornings, as I've been doing chaplain work at Riverview Rehab, I can't tell you the number of people that I've been able to share the message of Jesus as Savior with. It's been unbelievable. Isn't that right? I come home every Thursday and I tell Becky, man, I must have shared Jesus with 5 or 6 people today. Not because I go into their rooms and I say, hey, I'm the chaplain, I have a message for you. Nope. But as I've been able to develop over the weeks of time a connection with them, I've been able to build a platform with them as they get ready to leave. And some of them are older, very old, when they're leaving the rehab. And they're worried about what's going to happen If I don't recover, if I don't ever gain my strength back, if I die, what's going to happen? And they begin to ask me questions. And I'm able to pull out my phone that has my Bible on it. And I'm able to share with them the Word of God. I don't tell them what I think, because what I think isn't important. I share with them the Word of God. And I make sure they know that I'm reading to them God's Word. And I don't know how many people have said, Pastor, I believe that. Chaplain, I believe that. Chaplain, you've answered all of my questions for me, and I'm walking out of here a believer in Jesus as my Savior. Whoa. Wow. People want to hear the truth. And so it's important for us to what? Be ready to be able to what? Share with them the Word of God. They're living in problems. That's why they're there. That's why they're in rehab. It's because they ran into an illness and they needed some extra help and they needed some extra care to be able to get through the ramifications of that illness. And now they're getting ready to leave. They've become comfortable in that place with the staff. They become comfortable with people giving them their meals, with people helping them, making sure that it's a safe place, giving them therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy. They've become comfortable knowing that once a week a spiritual leader is going to come and try to brighten their day as he talks with them and as he asks them their story. And then it leads to them as they get ready to leave, to be interested in what? What's going to happen to me if I die? What's going to happen to me when I die? How can I know that I'm going to heaven? Or they'll say, you know, I know that as I leave this place, that it probably won't be very long and I'll be dying. And I hope that I can go to heaven. You see, they don't think about going anywhere else. They want to go to heaven. And so I say, can I tell you that you don't have to hope, that you can know for sure? And they would go, what? I can know for sure? Yep, here, let me show you. Pull out my Bible on my phone, go through the verses, and then they go, I believe that. I believe in Jesus as Savior. Well, Jesus himself said that if any believe in him, they will have what? Eternal life. Eternal life where? In a place called heaven. How do I know that? Because in John chapter 14, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. And when it is finished, I will come and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you believe that? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe he went to the cross to pay for your sin because you couldn't pay for it? He died a sacrificial death. Because if you would have died that same death, it wouldn't have made any difference. Do you believe that? Yes. Pastor, I believe that. And I'd say, heaven's yours. I can know that I can go to heaven? Yes, you can. Right there. So it's just, people want to know. When they hear the truth shared with love, they want to know more. And when they see signs of a changed life, they want to see if their lives can change as well. That's all I'm doing, is representing to them what a changed life looks like. Amen? How cool is that? And you know what? It doesn't. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a chaplain to be able to experience those same things. You just have to be ready and willing to be able to do that. Do you see how that works? Remember what Paul, who used to be Saul, wrote in Romans 1:16? He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. But if nobody tells them the gospel, how are they going to have an opportunity to believe? Think about that. And this power of the gospel is put on display in Acts chapter 8 and verse 7. Did you see it? People were set free from spiritual and physical bondage. It said, for unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. The message about Jesus breaks bondage and barriers. When proclaiming the gospel brings about God's power, we need to rejoice. This was happening in Samaria. And remember, Samaria and Samaritans were not a place that the Jews wanted to have a whole lot of dealings with. But God, the persecution that God allowed to be able to happen, this great persecution, sent some of them where? To a place they didn't want to be. A place called Samaria. Because remember, they didn't like the Samaritans because they were half Jews, not complete Jews. And if you want background on that, read John chapter 4, where Jesus says, I have to go to Samaria. His disciples probably thought he was crazy. Are you kidding me? Nobody intentionally goes to Samaria, Jesus. We go around Samaria. We take the long way around Samaria. We don't go to Samaria. We don't breathe Samaritan air. We don't eat Samaritan food. We don't mess. We don't visit. We don't do anything with the Samaritans. And you're saying what? You need to go? Why did Jesus need to go? Because he knew there was a lady there who he needed to talk to about what the Savior had come to be able to do. She needed not just the water that she could draw out of a well and take back for her household. She needed living water that was going to allow her to be able to what? Live for eternity with Jesus in heaven. He said, I have to go out of my way. I have to go to a place that's not comfortable in order to be able to do that. And when this lady believed in Jesus as Savior, she went back to the village that she lived in, and she told the village leaders, and she told the people in the village, you need to come and hear this man. And they started coming, and it tells us that Jesus was there for 2 days. Can you imagine what his disciples were thinking as Jesus said, we're not leaving yet. We're going to stay here. So you know what that means? They had to eat Samaritan food. They had to sleep in Samaritan beds. They had to walk on Samaritan streets. They had to sit in Samaritan chairs or benches. They had to find shade under Samaritan trees. How uncomfortable was that? But yet God took the message. Jesus took the message of salvation through belief in him to the Samaritans. And yet, we can't leave the places we've become comfortable in to be able to share the message of what Jesus has done on the cross with someone else when they give us the platform to be able to do that. What a lesson that is for us. And when proclaiming the gospel brings about God's power, we need to rejoice. That's what happened in Samaria, the last part of these verses that we've been looking at. Look at verse 8. So there was much joy in that city. Why? Because of the power of God, because of the mission of God, because of the message of the gospel. Let me ask you a question. Do our cities in the Treasure Valley need joy today? Yeah. How are they going to find it? In the things that make them comfortable? Or in the message of that Jesus died on the cross for them? And all they have to do is believe in him as Savior. Joy will only come as we take Jesus to them. I think it's great that our text began with great persecution and ends with great joy. Because believers in the early church saw their problems bring about the proclamation of the gospel message. Let me remind you again, we gather in our church to grow, and we scatter to the world to show. Remember that. Remember above the doors of our sanctuary, as you come in, it says servants' entrance. And as you leave, it says servants' entrance. We come in to grow more in our knowledge of God's word, to grow more in knowing what God's mission is for every single one of us. And then we leave these doors to scatter to the world to what? To sow what it is that we know. So what did we learn this morning? Hopefully we learned that God uses problems and persecution to demonstrate his power, justice, and mercy. Hopefully we learned that in the early stages of difficulty, we often can't see what God's going to do in the end. And hopefully we learned that we need to stay involved in God's mission and do his mission with joy. Why? Because it brings joy to others. And we need to do this day by day, every day. And God's there to be able to help us do what it is that he's given us the mission to do. Father, thank you for what it is that you have taught us this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be able to gather here in your house. And Father, I pray that you will help us to be able to take the message of the fact that Jesus died on the cross to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world to anyone who gives us the opportunity. To take the opportunities that you give to us of the people that you place in our lives day after day after day. Father, and if it takes building a platform to be able to come to that place, help us to be willing to do that. Father, move us, maybe even out of the places that we've become comfortable, into the world, that we might be able to be the light you use to be able to bring joy to their hearts, to their lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Thank you. You are dismissed.